Previously on the audio files.
You know, we heard stories when we were kids, not during the Beatlemania days, that John wasn't a good drinker.
It's well known that Lennon was an angry drunk.
But you know what? Karma.
Yes.
And you know what karma came in the form of?
Mark David Chapman.
Yoko.
Oh, Yoko.
And then Mark David Chapman.
Chin's up, boobs out. It's showtime.
Time for music.
Civilized conversation.
Wherever the music takes me, kitten.
Scott Edward Phelps.
Ah, yes, the legendary wit, or at least half of it.
Dave Simmons.
Good evening, Dave.
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Tell you right out, I'm a man who likes talking to a man who likes to...
The most important music show ever.
Cue inspirational music.
The Audio Files.
This is a song I wrote yesterday, and it's about a girl who's just different, and I really like it because it's just so happy. So this is called Lucky You.
That's the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I get all verklempt when I hear it. I do.
All right, pop quiz right off the bat. Dave Simmons, what were you doing when you were 13 besides that?
Trying to find porn on those UHF stations with the antennas.
With the rabbit
ears.
Yeah. Well, I was a little more esoteric, as for myself. When I was 13, I was trying to decide whether it was cooler to know C7 and D7 than it was to know A, D, and C, but... Nevertheless, when Scott and Andrea Swift's little Taylor Allison was 13, well, she was writing songs that made her happy. And that's what it was, a little happy song. Fast forward 20 years and stagger on it, and she's writing songs that make the record company ecstatic. And with her newest album, she's proven once again that Beyonce ain't the only one who can put over 300 songs on one album and set new streaming records. More praise swiftly. Momentito is two guys who know tunes talk Taylor this week. Additionally, you likely don't know the name Charlene Kay, but one, she is no relation to Carol Kay.
Hi, I'm Carol Kay.
Don't get me started.
And number two, before this episode is over, you're surely going to think she's very clever, or you and your Swifty BFFs will be hiring a hitman. Also on the show, my personal connection with Taylor Swift. I'm going to be name-dropping like Taylor and Beyonce add songs to albums, and Dave's going to prove once again that he's so much more than just a pretty face. I don't know how he's going to do that, but I am, like you, more than willing to hang around long enough to find out. But first up, whole lot of Taylor going on this week, and that's the A side, but there's some stuff to be shared sardonically on the flip side.
What turned that over, man? What was that with the flip?
I will see you on the other side.
You know, you're going to flip just one time too many, Mansi.
All right, last week or week before, whenever the hell it was, we kind of promised that we would provide this no matter whatever else we talked about at length on the show. We would do a little thing where we would choose whatever the song was that came into the Billboard Hot 100 at the highest location for its first week. Partly so we could remain timely and topical and not come off like the really old people that we are, but also because we dig the groove. We're into the hip. We're into the happening. And then a lot of times we're going to do what I think we're going to do today, which is to go, really? This is the greatest song that came in at as high as it did on the charts. This one, first weekend, at number 7, higher than any brand new song, the young lady's name is Sabrina Carpenter. And, of course, as always, this is this week's highest hello at the top of the charts.
At this very moment, the highest
hello
at the top of the charts.
The audio files.
No,
here.
I can't relate. I give a fuck. Are on vacation, and I got this one boy, and he won't stop calling when I act this way. I know I got him. Too bad your ex don't do it for you. Walked in and dream came true for you. Soft skin and not perfume it for you. Yes, I know I'm not into it for you. Yes.
number 7 song in the nation. And for those of you who have said to yourselves often, hey, whatever happened to Corinne Bailey Rae? There, and that, you know, it's like,
I love Corinne Bailey Rae, but
it's very,
get ready to be shocked. I like that song.
Well, you're a groove guy, so I'm not taking away from your opinion because you're entitled to it, but you forgive a lot if the groove is cooking.
And, if the groove is good, I can overlook a lot of stuff.
Well, overlook this because, you know, we all kind of heard the lyric, but I want to just make a little mocking fun of this from an era. And I know our generation had our songs where the lyrics were like, what the hell? Okay. But this is what we have evolved or de-evolved to. This is the very beginning lyric that you just heard in its entirety. I can't relate to desperation. My give a fucks are on vacation. And I got this one boy, he won't stop calling. When they act this way, I know I got him. Too bad your ex don't do it for you. Walked in and dream came true'd it for you. Soft skin and I perfumed it for you. I know I mountain do it for you. That morning coffee brewed it for you. One touch and I brand new'd it for you. Now he's thinking about me every night. Oh, is it that sweet? I guess so. Say you can't sleep, baby. I know that's that me espresso. Move it up, down, left, right. Oh, switch it up like Nintendo. Say you can't sleep, baby. I know that's that me espresso. Is it that sweet? I guess so. I love that because that is ridiculous. And yet,
step aside, Bob Dylan. Step aside.
What caught my ear when I was listening down to it, when not having the lyric sheet in front of me, I heard the words Mountain Dew it for you. I heard Nintendo in there, and I said, all right, now I have to go looking for the lyrics so we can make fun of it for 30 seconds. It's a kid's song. Who cares?
Yeah, but you know what the thing about her is, and she's very easy on the eyes.
Well, which is what you want a singer.
Yeah, which is that I happened to discover her in like 2016, 2015, 2016.
Okay.
I looked it up. She is actually she's a case study for persistence. She's put out 5 albums in the last 8 years, and now she's finally broken through. You know, she wouldn't let them slam that door in her face, and you got to give her a lot of credit.
Well, that's she gets the Lady Gaga award, you know, because that's what Gaga did. She paddled up and down the street. The thing I would say in using that metaphor would be, though, or analogy would be, that Gaga is
mega talented, yeah,
and she's also unique.
Yeah,
this is Gloria Estefan meets Corinne Bailey Rae meets, you know, and it's got that damn
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, and even though the groove is there, the tonal quality of her voice is still that shit. Everybody's whispering now.
It's,
nobody ever sings.
Yeah,
they just I'm making fun of the kids.
No, she's like I said.
I'm sure she's a lovely person.
If you've got a nice groove and you're easy on the eyes, I can overlook a lot.
We'll be right back to Dave's Easy. He's not cheap right after this. All right, two guys talking tunes. Everybody's talking about Taylor, and where are we going to start? I know what. Let's start with Taylor Chapter 1.
Taylor Swift Live!
Yeah, I said that. You don't know the name Beverly Val Grant, but you're about to. She's an old buddy of mine from a long time ago back in Nashville. She and her husband Tom, good friends of mine. Beverly is one of those people. She and I were real close for a long time when I lived there, and we stay in touch. We never would have had a romantic relationship because we just didn't click that way. But she's the closest thing to a sister I have, not counting my real sister who doesn't speak to me. But she and I have a brother-sister kind of thing. I'm a little, yeah. I'm a year older, about 3 older than she is. And she's like my wife. She's very, not Pollyanna, but she's very glass half full. She always finds the good in people.
Yeah.
She doesn't, when she posts on Facebook, she posts pictures of her back garden. Her last name, married name, is Grant. They call the house where they live Grant Manor. It's all very Norman Rockwell and adorable.
Right.
And I'm not making fun. I love her a lot. And Tom, too. So she's not political, and she doesn't get involved in those kinds of conversations. So every now and then, though, she comes out with a personal opinion, which is like, whoa, this is interesting. And she gave a little mini review of Taylor Swift's new current
album.
Did
she go out and buy it? Or
Well, who knows? They may get promotional copies of what they do for a living now. Nevertheless, this was what she had to say on Facebook, quote, "My take on Taylor's new project, it's a lot. But she knows how to create something that sparks a large chunk of society's interest, similar to when rock and roll hit my generation. The lyrics are very interesting and worth reading in depth. The melodies are a little too similar for my taste, but at the end of the day, I have to say bravo. It's like she released a novel containing all the notes from a mountain of therapy sessions and decided to create a movie at the same time. Can't wait to see the videos." Now you can tell, and she's, and I gave the little reflections there. She's not a Pollyanna, but there was always a little, even if she dug it a little, like the melodies all kind of sound the same. But on the other hand, go, go, go.
Right.
And that's what makes her lovable. But I included this because I know her, and I know her, her frame of mind and how she comes at these things. And the fact that she wasn't criticizing anything, but there was a little mini critiques there. And the key line sums it up for me. The lyrics are very interesting and worth reading in depth. The melodies are a little too similar for my taste. I've listened to all 714 tracks on this album at once. I just finished about a half an hour ago, and I started a week ago Tuesday, right after I finished listening to Cowboy Carter. And if you, and again, the Swifties don't care, and nobody really gives a shit about my personal opinion one way or the other, but it's our show, so I can do this when I tell you that I'm really intrigued by a lot of what she's doing lyrically. There's no question that she understands the concept of melodic hooks in songs. This is not really that. It's a lot of stuff. But her songs do... I'll tell you what she reminds me of. I'm a big fan of Sean Colvin. I was a... thought I was a big fan, but I'm just a fan of Mary Chapin Carpenter. And the reason I use those two is they're good buds, and they go out on the road together a lot. They're similar. They're chicks with guitars that do folk kind of pop kind of stuff. Introspective, interesting. But here's the difference. If you listen to Sean Colvin's album and there's 10 or 12 tracks, you're going to hear 10 or 12 tracks that are just not only lyrically interesting and very insightful and all that, but all kinds of different grooves, all kinds of different beats, and all kinds of... Kim Ritchie's another
one. And very melodically interesting. Yes. Yeah.
Mary Chapin Carpenter is a very gifted lyricist and has that kind of deep alto voice. It's sort of sexy. But her melodies tend to be... it's either Mary melody number one, Chapin melody number three, number five, and I don't mean to diss her. So it's kind of the same thing with Taylor. That's, if there's a critique to be had for this whole slew of this whole album for me, it's like after about the seventh track, I'm going, well, I've heard this already. And I like listening to the lyrics. It's a good read. That'll be my review. Get a copy of the lyric sheets and, you know, put a log on the fire and let it crackle. And in the background, don't play any music at all, or play, you know, some Wayne Newton karaoke or something. Wayne Newton. I'm just saying. And read the lyrics. Yeah. There's a lot of great work going on there.
Dog of shame.
yeah, but music, musically, yeah. That's my whole sum up review of the entire album.
Well, I pulled this down because I found this interesting. It was described as a minimalist synth pop and folk pop effort with rock and country stylings. The Tortured Poets department consists of largely mid-tempo songs driven by synthesizers and drum machines alongside of organic instruments such as piano and guitar, which every song that I listen to, that describes it.
That's like really, and what I'm hearing, first time I've ever heard that particular written piece right there. That sounds to me like the $11 Iona Thesaurus way of saying that she's interesting lyrically, but all the music sounds the same.
It does. It does. Okay. And as a drummer, there's nothing even remotely creative on the album.
No, but that's not.
But she's got a keyboard. Again, she's got a keyboard player programming the drums, you know.
There you go. All right. The album has also been described as diverse, eclectic, all those fancy $5 words. And here's a case in point. And I'll give it this. Listen up to this. If you haven't heard the album, here's a little bit. And we're not going to play the songs. In a minute, we're going to just jump right off of the album and go on to some other things because we do things differently around here because we're contrary and because we're revolutionary. But case in point, listen to the diversity to be heard right off the bat in the title track. The name of the song and the name of the album is The Tortured Poets Department.
Typewriter at my apartment, straight from the Tortured Poets Department. I think some things I never say, like who uses typewriters anyway. But oh, here we go again. The voices in his head called the rain to end our days of wild. But you should have seen him when he first got me. My boy only breaks his favorite toys. Toys. Oh. Now I'm down bad crying at the gym. Everything comes out, teenage petulance.
fight through the mist. I kept calm and carried the weight of the rift. Pulled him in tighter each time he was drifting away. Little did you know your home's really only a town you're just a guest in. So you work your life away just to pay for a timeshare down in Destin, Florida. One hell of a drug, drowning in the Blue Nile. He sent me downtown. So I leap from the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream. Who's afraid of little old me? You should be.
Good fade. First of all, I heard a little Miley Cyrus Flowers in there.
I did.
Melody, yeah. I'm sure that was an in this, and it's quite diverse, and I'm going to confess that the Swifties are already irate because they know exactly what I did there. I pumped that as the first song, the title track of the song. What I did was I took little snippets of the first 10 tracks and put them all together,
right.
And that's what that is. But if you listen, you know, and if I'd have spent more time on it, I could have smoothed it out to the point where you would have thought it was one long song and you'd thought, well, it does move around a little bit, but no, there's not a whole lot of fresh going on there. It's just what
now,
she
it's what she does, fine. And what she does works. The album topped the charts globally in 13 countries with its release.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to write something that's not that fantastic and have it top the charts in 13 countries.
Well, you're halfway there.
Yeah. I've written a bunch of stuff that's not that fantastic. So it's like, but
sorry,
yeah.
That was a softball.
That was good.
I had
good.
To hit it over the fence.
It was good.
It was coming at me. All right. Here's what we're going to do, though. That's enough of that. With one or two minor exceptions for the rest of the episode, and the Swifties will love this. Mercifully, we're not going to listen to any more from the new album. Give it a listen, see what you think. Again, it's got 947 tracks, and they're all in chronological order. Enjoy it if you will. What we are going to do is take a look at some other things that have to do with Taylor, and little fun facts to know and tell, because we love that fun facts to know and tell shit, but we always come up with clever names for it. This time around, we're going to call them Taylor Tidbits.
The audio files.
Taylor Tidbit.
Taylor Swift is named after James Taylor, one of her parents' favorite recording artists. I've seen fire, I've seen rain. You are all the sun that I see you.
That is actually, because I couldn't find any studio work they've ever done together, but Taylor. Oh, James Taylor and Taylor have actually performed live together a couple of times, once at Madison Square Garden when she was just kind of cooking. And,
right.
Yeah, they're mutual fans, and you're doing okay if you can get James Taylor to show up and sing one of his songs with you.
I mean, she's the biggest artist on the planet right now.
I always take umbrage, though, when they do what they did with that particular version of Fire and Rain.
Right.
When James Taylor does Fire and Rain live on stage, he plays with the acoustic guitar, and it sounds very much like the original classic iconic album track. When you start putting the drum behind it, that's a song that just plods.
Shut your filthy mouth.
It just plods. Yeah,
you should put a drum behind everything.
It just plods. You're not a plodder. You wouldn't.
No, I would not. I would not plod.
It plods. It's a plodding song. But you know, I keep sounding like I'm searching for the disc, but I'm not. I like James Taylor, and good for her. She's a sweet kid.
She is.
And she holds all the power for the future of America and democracy in her little hands. So she's going to play her cards when the times are right. But I was like 3 days ago old when I found out that her mom named her after James Taylor. So thank God her favorite artist wasn't Keb Moe. I'm not sure how Keb Moe Swift would be doing with with the fan base.
You never know.
All right. That brings us, I think, to Taylor Chapter 2.
Taylor Swift!
I already said that. All right. I blame this and congratulate this in the direction of Dave because he turned me on to this. You may not know the name Charlene Kay, and I said in the intro, first, she's no relation to Carol.
Hi, I'm Carol Kay.
Don't get me started.
She is, I looked it up, she's an American singer-songwriter, most widely known for her solo work under the name, wait for it, Kay, and as a former lead vocalist for San Fermin. And that's San Fermin, not Sam Fermin. Sam Fermin, I think, is an auto dealer on Ventura Highway out in California. It's some kind of alternate band or something. But she's apparently a funny chick because she put this thing together, and I'm just going to intro it by telling you this. This is one of those little TikTok-type reels that she did. She's obviously a gifted musician. What she did was, we're calling this Taylor Deconstructed. She took and created, well, here's the best way to explain this. The wonderful and oft-recorded Leonard Cohen classic, Hallelujah. The lyric in the beginning of Hallelujah, where the lyric is explaining what the musical movements are,
mm-hmm.
from the fourth to the fifth, and then the flat, and it's brilliantly written. Charlene Kay has kind of done that with everything that Taylor Swift has ever written to date, and probably everything Taylor Swift will ever write from here on out. And I think you'll have some fun giving it a listen.
This is a verse that I'm singing in a major key. It's gonna move to the minor six eventually, and to the four, cause we're wistful and unsure, and to the five, it's questioning and bright. A breathy pre-chorus when we kissed back at my house. A breathy pre-chorus with some backing vocals right here, and then I'm singing really low just to keep you on your toes, building up a little more right before I hit the chorus. Baby, I will love you evermore. You wrote me the letter saying, are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out of the woods yet? Are we out? Fresh out the slammer, I know it's gonna go to the bridge. Now I'm singing the bridge really fast, yeah. Closest thing I can get to rap it. Now I'm singing the bridge really fast, yeah. Closest thing I can get to rap it. Sometimes I speak it just like this. Conversational just like your best friend. What's coming up next? You guessed it. We're going back to the chorus. Baby, I will love you evermore.
I love her shoes. I love everything about that girl. That's genius right
yes,
there.
Yes, yeah, and she basically deconstructed every Taylor Swift song.
So you can, if you're a big Swift fan or a Swiftie, you're going to be listening raptly for the rest of Taylor's career. If you're not, you have now heard everything Taylor will do in the future, and you can chart it that way. I think that is
brilliant. Charlene, she's tough. I like her gumption.
And just as an extra added treat, the Audiophiles, our companion podcast where we put full versions of the songs we excerpt during the show, we've included that one right there in its entirety so you can enjoy it and play it for all your friends who do like Taylor and don't like Taylor and just run and go have fun with it. And if you're not happy about it, then blame Dave because I had nothing to do with it except to make sure that it got on. Speaking of Dave, time to say hey, Dave. And in a Taylor Swift capacity, turns out he's a lover of white stuff.
Dave Simmons.
Hey.
Dave.
Hey.
What you got? What's up?
Mm-hmm. Life is emotionally abusive and time can't stop me quite like you did. And my flight was awful. Thanks for asking. I'm unglued. Thanks to you. And it's like snow at the beach. Weird but fucking beautiful. Flying in a dream. Stars by the pocket full. You wanted me tonight. Feels impossible. But it's coming down, no sound. It's all around like snow on the beach.
This is coming down, it's coming down, it's coming down, it's coming down.
It's ethereal and enjoyable. And isn't that the first time, or is it the only time she's ever used the word fucking in one of her songs?
No, I think she's used it a few songs, but
poetic though.
From our other conversations in previous episodes, you do know that I do like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I do too.
So when I say things, you know, that are not complimentary, I really mean it, and I do really think that. I'm not trying to be mean. I think
after all the time that we've been doing these things together and people will listen to us to regularity with any kind of, you know, consistency, they've long ago established who's the mean one and who's the nice one around here. So yes, I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, that is a song called Snow on the Beach. She wrote that with Lana Del Rey.
Weird, but fucking beautiful.
Yeah, and Jack Antonoff, the guy that she really works with a lot. He co-produces a lot of her stuff. That, I think, is her most mature song. That was off the Midnights album, her last album. Mm-hmm. That is the most mature song she's written melodically.
I like what she did with Lana Del Rey, too. She did a little Kanye, Paul McCartney thing going on there. You got to be really listening for Lana Del Rey to be able to hear her.
But Lana Del Rey did co-write it. But I think that's the most mature sounding. And you've listened to a bunch of her stuff. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like every other song that she does. Mm-mm. That's very different.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I liked it back in 1988 when I heard it the first time. I'm only doing that to you because it just tells me that Taylor, obviously, in all of her music, what you can do is you can hear influences. And
right.
We were all influenced younger by the writers ahead of us.
The Beatles.
Taylor heard Enya somewhere along the way.
Somewhere along the way.
And kind of morphed into what she was doing. But halfway through the first time I'm listening to Snow on the Beach, I'm thinking, where the hell have I? Oh, yeah, that's Enya.
Yeah. So. But I do think that's the most mature.
It is.
Song
well,
that she's written.
I don't know. Maybe not. Have you heard the whole album yet?
I pieced it. I listened to a couple.
Because we're going to use
first chorus.
Okay. You know? The outro is the very last song on the album, and I will even hype it at the time. In addition to right now, is a very mature piece of music and a very mature piece of lyric. That's a little tease for you to hang in there, or you can fast forward since the podcast. Do whatever the hell you want to. But
yes.
But yeah, she's growing up. She's what is she? 33 now? 34?
Something like that. Yeah.
And been recording since she was 13 or 14. She's been around 20 years.
Yes.
How the hell does that happen? And by the way, just for nothing, because I went and looked it up, Enya's real name is Ethna Padrini Bronine. She's Irish. And I know Bronine sounds like something you take for an upset stomach, but that's...
I think she's Rajesh's Kuthrapali's relative.
Rajesh's? That's the new drunk test. Sir, have you been drinking tonight? No, sir, officer. Then say Rajesh Kuthrapali three times fast. Anyway, so yeah, Snow on the Beach. I like the song. As I said, I liked it in 1988. But that's, I like the fact that she's being influenced by ethereal and very gifted artists like Enya, mm-hmm. as opposed to just your random, I mean, God forbid if Kim Kardashian wrote songs or something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's not far off, probably.
I hope not.
The audio files.
Time for another Taylor tidbit. Taylor grew up on a Christmas tree farm in Reading, Pennsylvania, which inspired her song Christmas Tree Farm.
My heart is a Christmas tree farm where the people would come to dance under sparkling lights, bundled up in their mittens and coats. And the side.
Her job was to pick praying mantis pods off the trees before they were sold.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
And how lucky is Taylor Swift that she wasn't growing up during a time when she might have worked with Phil Spector? Otherwise, she might have gotten killed.
Well, yeah.
Because it does have that Crystal's Phil Spector Christmas album kind of feel to
it. I can't believe I got through reading that without bursting into laughter.
Yeah. You did good. You did good. And I like the song. And I said at the outset, I like... When I said the melodies have a tendency to sound the same, there's a certain cluster of that she uses and Charlene Kay's brilliant construction of how she constructs her songs. But the credit I will give her, and this is a hard thing to do, and those who do it well always have my respect and admiration. the melodic hook, not necessarily the lyrical hook, because that, if you get a catchy phrase, there's your hook. It's no big deal.
Right, right.
One of the most gifted, and one of the reasons that the guy's richer than God and will go down in history as the most successful songwriter in history is Paul McCartney, and he is another one of those guys from a long time ago, starting out from the get-go, knew how to do the melodic hook.
Yeah.
The thing, the music piece, the little, even if it's just three or four notes, you know, we can work it out. There you go. And that's what's going on with her.
She's good at what she does.
With all those songs.
Obviously.
All right. I believe that's time for chapter 10 or 3. Taylor chapter 3. How do you say that?
Taylor Swift 3!
All right. Here's the thing. Instead of doing the same old, and I promised you that we would do that, and so we're going to do that right now for just a few minutes. And here's how it works. Instead of saying, hey, what Taylor Swift song is your favorite? And what's the most important Taylor Swift song? And what do you think the fans are listening to on the new album? And who really cares? You like or you don't? It's all subjective. I thought, let's ask a different question. And we've kind of touched on it inadvertently. What does Taylor Swift listen to? Not necessarily when she was younger, because we really don't know, and I guess we could find out, but that would involve hours of research, and anybody who's been listening to us for any time
well, you know
we
what
don't
she,
spend a lot of time on research.
You know what she probably listened to when she was younger? What her parents listened to, because like we all tend to do that.
Perhaps mom's favorite artist, James Taylor. Exactly, and that's fine. Well, I found a little article, believe it or not, that had five songs. It was out of an interview that Taylor did, so this isn't just speculation. Some artists that Taylor listened to in recent times that have influenced her and that she enjoys. Let's call them Taylor Faves. During an online interview, when asked what her favorite song to listen to for mending a broken heart, Taylor chose a track written by Maureen Ann McDonald, a fairly successful songwriter. Of the track, Swift said, I first heard it in an airport bathroom when I was going through a situation with a guy. I thought he was in, but he was just chasing me for the sake of the chase. This song sounds like she can empathize. Successful songwriter Maureen Ann McDonald wrote this Taylor fave, Maureen Ann McDonald, better known as Mozella. And you wanted it.
Sweet and low, and to the point, you always get your way. If this is supposed to be something more, then kindly explain what all the pain is for. Cause you wanted it, you wanted it, don't lie to me. Don't act like I wanted it more.
In the category of making yourself at home, Taylor chose this song and said it was her, quote, theme song for the first few days of living solo. She added, she particularly resonated with the lyrics, pretend you're not alone, like you are center stage on Broadway, because when you're on your own, a little opera goes a long way. So says Sky Sailing.
I'll paint you a dreamscape on your bedroom wall. Pretend you're not alone, like you are center stage on Broadway. Cause when you're on your own, a little opera goes a long way.
By the way, if Sky Sailing sounds to you a little like Owl City, it's most likely because Sky Sailing was one of the first musical projects ever produced by Adam Young of, wait for it, Owl City.
We're drenched in vanilla twilight, all sit on the front porch all night, waist deep in thought, because when I think of you, I don't feel so alone.
Dave Barnes is a North Carolina native who moved to Nashville 20 years ago and started writing songs for Carrie Underwood, Blake Shelton, Reba, Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. Taylor chose a Dave Barnes song to add to a playlist she created called Happily Ever After. A Taylor fave. Until you.
Let's just take our time. There's nothing else to do. But better. With you.
Scotty Griffin is one of those singer-songwriter names you might not know, but whose work you have almost certainly heard, with cuts by Emmylou Harris, Kelly Clarkson, Linda Ronstadt, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Bette Midler. This Griffin song was another Taylor put on her Happily Ever playlist, played from time to time on TV dramas. Rain.
It's hard to listen to a hard, hard heart beating close to mine, pounding up against the stone and steel walls that I won't climb. Sometimes the hurt is so deep, 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 you think that you're gonna drown. Sometimes all I can do is weep, weep, weep with all this rain falling down. Strange how hard it rains now. Rows and rows of big dark clouds, but I'm holding on underneath the shroud.
The third song Taylor mentioned in that Happily Ever playlist is this one, done by a trio who count Patty Griffin in on their concert set lists, who wrote this addition to Taylor's Happily Ever playlist, and who Taylor considers her, quote, musical spiritual ancestors, unquote. And danged if you can't hear her style in them when you hear them singing Easy Silence, the once Dixie, now just the Chicks. Lastly, but not leastly, when Taylor Swift is asked what's her favorite Taylor Swift song, she says, quote, it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. I really don't think I've delved this far into my insecurities in this detail before, unquote. Well, buzzkill away, kiddo.
Boo-hoo!
The always entertaining and from time to time esoteric Taylor Swift and anti-hero.
You go, girl.
That's right. Anti-hero, anti-pasta, it's all the same thing. All right, here's a pop quiz in reverse. Here's my guess of what of those songs was your, you know, you may not have had a raging favorite one way or the other, one that you preferred, say, more than others. I would say the very first one, Mozella's song. You want it. And again, it's primarily, it's a groove.
Yeah.
She sounds a little like Corinne Bailey Ray.
I love Corinne Bailey Ray.
And what's that whole thing with the bathroom and being chased around? I saw your eyes light up when that went by, and I remember saying to myself, yeah, I'm sure she was talking about like at the airport or something, and she heard the music. It wasn't anything clandestine.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. Perhaps.
Not Taylor.
Perhaps.
Not Taylor.
I'm sure she's getting chased around now.
Well, Travis will take care of that. I found their collection of music interesting. They were diverse. At the same time, you can hear a little Taylor Swift in just about every one of those songs.
Yeah.
Which means that she obviously is influenced by those, and that's where she's getting her writing. And
oh, yeah.
There's that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And every artist is influenced. You know that.
I do. But some use it as influence, and some use it as let's... I find it interesting that we've mentioned a couple of these songs in different factions sound like Corinne Bailey Ray. And Corinne Bailey Ray is really more of a singer, fan singer. She's not a big name, and she's been around for a long time.
You know where I was, introduced to her. I don't know if you remember, it was a short lived series. It was live from, Abbey Road Studios.
Okay.
And it was a cable show, but it was the Beatles, that right. Studio One, the big room.
Right.
I saw my first exposure to Corinne Bailey Ray. She was on that, and I was like, oh my God, this is a tremendous songwriter.
Interestingly enough, the first time I ever saw her was, and it was a one-time shot. It's a TV series I've talked about before. It only lasted one season. After Aaron Sorkin left The West Wing, he created and produced The West Wing and wrote the first 4 years. Then he left for the last 3 years. And then it ended in after 7 years. And there was a period for about 2 years after that where he was writing movies and doing stuff. He wrote A Few Good Men and several other
right,
other
right. Things.
But he produced and created a new TV series called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It starred Matthew Perry and Brad Whitford from The West Wing as these two guys. And it was like 30 Rock, which was like a fictional Saturday Night Live type show, except this one was an Aaron Sorkin type series that had kind of like drama and comedy and a whole mixture of stuff. But that was the name of the TV show on Saturday, Studio 60. It's time for Studio 60. And they had all that. Sarah Paulson got her first gig there. Matthew mm-hmm. Perry was in it. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. The guy who plays Howard Wolowitz on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What is his name?
Yeah, I want to say Howard Wolowitz, but apologies. First time I ever saw him. And he did his, because he was a character within the show of Studio 60.
Right,
he did
right.
his Nicolas Cage impressions mm-hmm. and all that. They modeled it after Saturday Night Live in the fictional premise.
Right.
So they would occasionally have musical guests because you'd see the show. And Howie Mandel was the guest host of the episode in that particular episode. And it was one of those. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our musical guest, Corinne Bailey Ray.
Right.
And it was her. And she sang. And I thought, hey, this is
which good. Song? Like Just Like a Star or whatever. Big you
Memory yeah, Serves. Yeah. Yeah. The yeah. series only lasted like, and this was back around, I want to say 2006, 2007. You right. can find it actually on DVD and it's a really cool show. But that's where I first saw it.
What was that, only one season you said?
Just one. And they canceled it. Interestingly enough, it debuted the same year that 30 Rock did with Tina Fey. And the ratings were better. Aaron Sorkin said years later that he just decided he wanted to get back into writing movies and writing stage plays. He recently just rewrote The Caine Mutiny for Broadway and
oh, wow.
all kinds of different heady things. But anyway, that's the first place I saw her. But that's been 20 years ago.
Right.
And
right.
she's not a household word. She's never gone after that.
She's still kicking around. She's had a couple minor hits.
She's a performer's performer.
Yes.
All right, here's a fun thing. Check this out. Only because we like to do things differently from time to time. Here's the deal. The earlier one, the song Mozilla did, You Wanted It, I thought, and this is kind of pointless. I did morning radio for a long time, and I did other slots in radio in a long time, and I went on record many years ago as saying Google and the internet pretty much ruined trivia contests
yes.
for radio. Because back in the good old days, you'd say, and who was the fourth guy in that great band? Fourth caller gets that car, you know, and then you'd have to like call your friends or an expert. You'd have to actually put some work in. Now you just pick up your phone and go like, you know, Dave does that while we're talking all the time.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, here you go. Here's the answer right here. But just for the hell of it, don't Google this, okay? Just try to figure it out on your own or listen or call somebody or let's play old fashioned ways. Mozilla, as I mentioned in the piece a minute ago, is a stage name the young lady uses. Her real name is Maureen something, I forget now. Maureen McGovern or Maureen Schwartz.
Maureen Starkey.
There you go. She's had a fairly successful career beyond her career as Mozilla, and one song in particular did very, very well for her. What song is that? Fourth caller at 839-7362-2119. Won't win nothing. And at the end of the episode, we'll tell you the answer. How exciting is that?
I'm tingling.
That's how bored I was this week. All right, time for me to name drop. And as far as Taylor Swift is concerned, by God, I can do it. It's this week's 6 degrees.
6 degrees of SEP.
But if the Grand Canyon is just some ditch, Dorothy and Toto fall just some wish, and if the bay just some guy with a glove, then ooh, baby, this is just some love. Ooh, baby, this is just some love.
The only song in recorded history that I play more often on this podcast than Come Home to West Virginia. That's right. It's Keith Urban in his original incarnation as lead singer for a trio on Capitol Records called The Ranch, and a song that was going to be the next single. They'd already issued two singles. It's called Just Some Love. It was written by Canadian songwriting hit guy Cyril Rawson and his close American friend, me.
Me.
From my forthcoming autobiography, So Close.
So Close.
That's right. It was going to be the next single, and they'd already cracked the top 40 with their previous single, and I'm thinking this could be because they were going to be like the country version of The Police. There was just three of them. And Keith was front and center, and some idiot sued at Capitol Records went, hey, the band is fair to middling, but that Australian guy, he's kind of cool. Let's promote him. And the band went, and the singles went, and that was the end of that. Well, hell is what I say. Reason number seven why I gave up songwriting. But the reason I mentioned Keith Urban, besides the opportunity to play Just Some Love one more time, Taylor Swift opened for Keith Urban on his 2009 Escape Together World Tour, and he had been a guest on one of her world tours. How chummy BFF is that? Then, fast forward. And whiplash. She released her second studio album in 2009 called Fearless. The Swifties are mouthing along with me, I can tell. 12 years later, she re-recorded the entire album. And the 30-second explanation for what's going on here, and the Swifties are mouthing along because they know the story. Just be patient, people. Trying to educate other people here, okay? Her first 5 or 6 albums she recorded on this label that she was originally signed to. And like happens to many artists who kind of sign to get what they can to get started, she wanted to own her songs, own the rights to her albums, and they were like, eh-eh. So, smart girl, and I'm sure she had some counsel from parents who were pretty smart, too, but she's a pretty savvy chick. Instead of fighting it or try to do this or circumvent around it, she basically just said, okay, fuck you. I don't know whether she literally said fuck you. She probably did behind closed doors. She said, fuck you. I'll just re-record the albums in their entirety. I own those. There's not a damn thing you can do about it, and that's what it'll be. And over a period of the last few years, she's been re-recording and re-releasing the original 6 albums. How can you tell the difference between the two, the original and the re-record? The re-records are all called, whatever the title was, parentheses, Taylor's version. That's how you know. On the Taylor's version of the album Fearless, just a few years ago, she included a song that was intended for the original album but didn't make the cut at the time. That track was a duet featuring, can you see where this is going? I'll give you a hint. Crikey! Put another shrimp on the barbie. And yeah, I'm married to Nicole Kidman. Eat your heart out. And he sang a song called That's When.
I said I know when you said I did you wrong. Made mistakes and put you through all of this. Then through the phone came all your tears, and I said, leave those all in our past. And you said, when can I come back? And I said, that's when I wake up in the morning. That's when it's sunny or storming, laughing when I'm crying.
And that's when another one of those examples I was referring to earlier when I said she has a gift for the melodic hook.
Yes.
Because it's what it is. It repeats. Mm-hmm. It's simple. It's easy to remember. It's the thing that you remember. When I was doing my day gig years at Tower Records, one of the fun things that we did was helping people coming in looking for something in the way of a song or an album or something. And I almost acquired enough material over the years that I worked there to have written a book, a humorous, fun, anecdotal book about it. I was too lazy to mark it all down, but I can still remember. So people would come in and ask for, a song or something. Yeah, and the famous, they'd say, I'm looking for this song by this guy. I don't know his name, but it's got the word love in it. And we would go, okay, oh, that's real good. And then we would try to ask 20 questions to narrow it down for them and all that. But there was one guy or one lady that came in and said, yeah, I'm looking for this song, and I don't know who's singing, but I just know that the chorus is, hey, baby. Okay, that's good. How about, look, could it be Bruce Chanel, the original, you know, 1960s? Hey, baby, no, 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 that's not it. And we went through like 16 things. And finally, somebody asked the right question at the right moment. The kids all gathered around. And it turned out what she was looking for was the Tom Petty song, No Easy Way Out.
Okay.
But what she remembered was, melodically and lyrically, hey, baby. Mm-hmm. That's what's called a hook, kids, and that's what Taylor's really good at. But Keith Urban sang with Taylor Swift, and Keith Urban sang a song of mine, therefore I'm claiming a connection to Taylor Swift.
Well, there you go.
I'd like to announce our engagement.
You're already married.
I will be stalking her soon enough.
You're listening to the Audio Files.
Time for another
Taylor tidbit.
It only took 15 minutes for Taylor and her co-writer friend Liz Rose to write her breakthrough song, Tim McGraw.
When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think my favorite song, the one we dance to all night long, the moon like a spotlight on the lake. When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me.
I don't think so, Tim.
Nice song. It was country. Well, it was kind of, you know, it was no, at least she didn't throw chairs off buildings and threatening the lives of people. Hey, look, we didn't get to do this last week. This is too much fun. Let's do it this week.
Gather round, kids.
The best or less.
It's just what you need.
It's a good quality item.
The ladies really dig these things, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Yes, sir, we're next month's garage sale for sure.
Dave Simmons.
Wherever toys are sold.
I'll be here after the meeting to hand out information packets and take your checks. Just make them out to cash. That's my maiden name.
Gilbert.
And his given name is Corinne Bailey Ray. Just so you know.
Yes, of all of my products, I like to thank Robbie and Lynn from Trinity Symbols.
Did you ever think, and on any show like, sure, like this, you would ever be saying anything like that, like what you just said?
What?
Of all of my products. Not like, I'd like to once again thank the people who've underwritten my Kool-Aid stand. No. Of all my products.
Well,
you're a fucking corporation is what you are.
Of all of the things that I've got going on right now, I'd like to thank Robbie and Lynn from Trinity Cymbals, Sam and Kevin from HHG Drums, Iowa from Solo Beat Drumsticks, and Mia Cox from Excess Energy Drinks.
You do that on purpose, don't you?
What?
You I don't even know you realize you're doing it. Since we accidentally stumbled onto the fact that we were fifth graders and we were making fun of Nia's last name. Now every time you say her name, you don't say, and my friend Nia Cox with the energy drink. It's always Nia Cox.
Nia's awesome. Nia's awesome. Yeah,
she'd have to be.
And then Dean and Dale from Earl Teat Music, Dover and Del Mar, two locations.
How come we never giggle about teats?
Because it's not as funny as Cox. Because
they're guys. That's why. It's chauvinism is what it is.
Well, we played an interesting show this past Saturday.
All your shows are interesting, honey.
No, this was really interesting. We played a place called the St. James Alumni Association.
I saw the pictures, and I wondered, where do they keep the walkers in that?
Actually, they were a lively crowd. They were up dancing all night.
Okay. This was Ultimate Diamond?
Ultimate Diamond, yeah. Mm-hmm. They hired us. We got a one-off from a Philadelphia agent, and we got the best compliment. The guy that hired us, who was like Joe Pesci, he was a Joe Pesci knockoff. He's like, this is the 13th show we've had in here, and this is the best show we've ever had, and I'm including Beatlemania. We had Beatlemania in here, and you're better than Beatlemania.
Okay.
So I was like, cool. That sounds like a cool thing. Uh-huh. But it was really an interesting. Apparently, these guys went to the St. James Academy.
Yeah.
The school closed. They bought a building and basically made a man cave. Yeah. And they have live entertainment. They rent it out for weddings. The facility.
So what was the organization beautiful that you were playing for?
St. James Alumni Association.
Okay.
The people that have the building.
Yeah, okay.
He said, we keep a handful of dates open a year for ourselves to do something, and this is what
was
we
there,
do.
Was there, this is a dinner or just?
Dinner. There's a bar, you know, full kitchen.
Was
full,
it like an old person dinner, like chicken and rice and all that, or was it?
No, you know, it was good.
Pretty snappy.
Yeah, they had chicken marsala. some sort of salmon.
Isn't that the guy that ragged Ben-Hur?
Yes. Yeah. Some sort of salmon, a pasta dish, you know, couple different vegetables.
I always thought that'd really be a good. Great name for a band.
What?
Pasta Dish.
Pasta Dish, yes.
It sounds like, first of all, it sounds like a Polish name.
Well, we should.
Freddy Pasta Dish.
We should just call a band Some Sort of Salmon.
And by the way, we'll be right back to more Adventures of Nia Cox in just a minute. Not to throw you off your train of thought here, because I know it's hard keeping track of all the products, but this guy Lockerman, who's promoting...
Oh, Ron. Yeah.
Yeah. Has anybody bothered to tell him that in these little reels that he did, the first one, I had to track down the first one, but in the second one, let me give you a little... Ron Lockerman, is that his
name? Yes, yeah.
He's a very personable fellow. I've never met him. He's doing this real nice reel online on Facebook. He's promoting an event that's coming up in July. But I wouldn't have known that unless I went searching, because here's what Ron was doing. Apparently, it was the second or third of one or a couple he'd already done on the matter. But it's just him in the camera, and he's saying, "Big announcement here. We're going to have this thing, and we're going to be playing, and there's a party, and then it's going to go down, and we're going to have all these great bands." And he starts rattling off the names of the bands, and he goes, "Well, and Ferd Burford, and blah, 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 and the boys in the band, and blah, blah, blah." And then he pauses dramatically or comedically, and he goes, and looks wistfully off into the distance and says, "Then there's just one more, and I can't remember." And he kind of sends a freeze frame, and the camera very cleverly pans, and Mike Hines leans over and kind of gives the piece and then leans back out. And it's cute as all giddy up. Absolutely no information about what it is, where it is, what time it is. And I'm thinking, okay.
Well, you have to follow his other part. He does them in.
I get it. And I did that. But
keeps you engaged.
But you and I both know that we're dealing with a mentality in our nation in this particular day and time when people wouldn't think to do that. They would just go, "Oh, I don't know what the hell that's all about." So I'm just saying, next time, maybe throw in a place card or something down at the bottom just to
help. Well, he runs this festival every year he owns a big property.
Oh, I'm sure it's a delightful. I know. I'm familiar with the event. And I know the thing, but it was like, it would be like if you watching a TV commercial and somebody was just sitting there on camera and they went, "It'll make that floor shine. Go get you some."
Okay. Yeah. Ron's interesting. We've
passed that on to him.
We've been kicked around as a headliner for that for probably the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, rightly so.
And schedule wise, it just never worked out. Well, this year it worked out finally.
You guys are the reigning kings. Next Ultimate Diamond.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Ultimate Diamond thing's growing fast.
Well, you know, Mike Hines and the Look is a musical institution in this part of the country. There's no question about that. But little, and if Mike, if you're listening this week, little competitive nudge, buddy, has Mike Hines and the Look ever beaten Beatlemania?
I'm just saying. I don't think so.
Might be a new standard. You better talk to Dave.
But yeah, that tickled me when he's like, "You're the best show we've ever had, and we've had Beatlemania."
I love that. All right. I don't know whether Dave has scored the other gig or not, but if he has or hasn't, either way, this is still one of his sponsors. This week's episode of Dave Product Palooza brought to you by
Roto-Rooter. That's the name.
And away goes troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter.
That's right. And so I don't do what I accuse Mr. Lockerman of. We're talking about Dave's attempt to get an endorsement or be endorsing Shit in a Box, which is to be explained later, or you can go back to previous episodes. And we still got time for one more shot.
As I've told you before, in a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
Alrighty, Rue, earlier in the episode, I threw out the mystery, which is no big mystery because I know everybody immediately went, "I don't give a shit, who cares?" Or they went to Google and they got the information. Did you look it up, by the way?
No.
So you don't know what the answer is?
I don't know.
Well, good, that's fun, then you'll be impressed.
I follow directions fairly well.
I know, and that makes you an audience of one. Thank you so much for that. That's why you're sitting over there and nobody else is. And I have to tell you, I've never told you this before. All the years we've been podcasting, you were actually, and I want to be totally above board with you at this point in our relationship. I couldn't do it without you, wouldn't want to do it without you, but you weren't the first choice.
Oh, who was the first choice?
Beatlemania.
but I didn't have enough chairs and microphones.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Okay. What I said earlier, and I forgot what her name is, her real name is Maureen something. Maureen McGovern, Maureen Brady, I don't know. Maureen McCormick. But her stage name is Mozella, and you heard her perform the song You Wanted It earlier in the Melage Menage there thing, which, by the way, as I mentioned, all the excerpts are available in full-blown version form on our companion podcast, The Audio Files,
Files,
which is available wherever you got this. But Maureen, whatever the hell her last name is, was a co-writer on a song. Well, let's just say she did okay.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
I'll bet that's a royalty check you wouldn't mind seeing show up in the mailbox.
You know that Engine 9 does that, but we use the Ron Jeremy video. That, for people who don't know, Ron Jeremy was a 70s porn star.
Yeah, who continued doing it well into his 70s.
Yes,
and there's not enough therapy in the world to get past you.
He recreated recreated the wrecking ball video frame by frame.
You know what makes it ironic? A lot of people don't realize that if you see the video, remember that I told you this, and you're never going to see it again the same way. His balls are actually that big. Although I think he's in prison now, isn't he?
Yes.
He's following this Phil Spector route. He didn't kill anybody, but
now, the Me Too thing got him. I think he got on rape. I think it was rape.
Yeah, that'll happen when you're messing around with those people.
You're listening to The Audio Files.
And now, one more
Taylor tidbit.
Is it done yet? Is it over? Are we finished?
Not yet!
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Her grandmother, Marjorie, was an opera singer. Now I'm lying on the cold hard.
And this is actually Taylor's grandmother.
Really?
Yeah. It's from a recording that she did when she was paying tribute to her grandma. There's musical DNA in that family.
Just is grandma still alive, or is she?
I don't know. It's time for you to look at your phone and do the Google.
I actually don't care that much.
Dave works off a list. Questions you can ask but don't really care about, in case we're long on time. Which we're not, actually, so it's about time to almost to say bye-bye.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Can you move it out of here?
Okay, wrap it up, kid.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Audio Files.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And I just want to throw this out in case you're looking for a birthday gift or the holiday season. It is April or is almost May on this, at this listening, so that means you know what it means. It means the holiday season is just around the corner. Remember the little golden books that we got when we were kids?
Yeah.
And generations have enjoyed the little golden books, my little golden book of auto repair, my little golden book of incestuous relationships, all those wonderful little heartwarming little golden books for $5.99, I'm not making this up, in hardcover, which is what the little golden books are all about. Help your little one dream big with a little golden book biography about Taylor Swift. Wendy Loja is the author, and the title of the book is Taylor Swift, A Little Golden Book Biography. I'm sure it's available at Amazon and all other places where you buy shit and go, why in the world did we spend money on this?
Sure I probably won't go out and get it.
You looked it up, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to give where I'm at next. I had to look.
Well, lay it on us.
My schedule's so whacked, I have to look it up.
I'll be waiting in the truck.
Next week, we're at the Teach Rural Spring Fling Gala. 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 Whatever.
Either way.
Yeah.
It'll be better than Beatlemania.
General admission, $60. VIP tables for $800. Silent auction, et cetera.
There better be a blowjob included with an $800 table.
You get Mike Hines in the look. What are you complaining about?
There better be a blowjob with the $800 table.
So that's where I'll be next week. So I'm done.
In so many ways.
Hey, tell them about your podcast.
No. I don't want to.
Oh, Lord.
I'm tailored out, and I'm going to be editing this episode for the next 3.5 weeks. So I need to get to it. Taking us out. I'll tell you about the podcast next week.
Okay.
Buy that, and don't forget Wiener Washer. I threw you that endorsement.
The Wiener Washer.
We're trying to
yes.
get Dave an endorsement to Wiener Washer.
Oh, we'll I'll get it.
Next week in tribute to, hi, I'm Glenn Campbell. We're going to do an episode called, hi, he's Glenn Campbell, where we kind of focus in on his final album, one called Dutes. We talked about it last week. And some interesting fun facts to know and tell. And, of course, you know who was involved in a lot of Glenn Campbell's work, Carol Kay.
Hi, I'm Carol Kay.
Don't get me started.
Okay. Taking us out. And whatever else I said about Taylor Swift, I said this, I'll say it again. Whatever else she is or has done or will do in the future, she's a real grown-up songwriter lady now, and she's a very talented kid. And this is the song that concludes the album, The Tortured Poets Department. It's track, memory serves, 951 of the 951 tracks. And as we conclude another award-winning episode, just wanted to tell you, this is a very mature piece of work, and I don't want to type it like, I hate it when people go, what does it sound like?
Well, you know, she sounds like, she kind of sounds like Eartha Kitt meets, you know, Barbra Streisand.
Well, no, she sounds like Taylor Swift. There are certain influences. If I was forced to give you a comparison, I would say Paul Simon during his early folky period, late folky period, where he was writing very, like the Dangling Conversation, poetic lyrics,
right.
music that was somber but not depressing, et cetera, et cetera. It's the sum up of the entire album for her, The Tortured Poets Department. The song is called The Manuscript. Enjoy. Bon appetit. I'm Scott Edward Fields.
I'm Dave Simmons.
And together we are the
Audio Files.
Now and then she rereads the manuscript of the entire torrid affair. They compared their licenses. He said, I'm not a donor, but I'd give you my heart if you needed it. She rolled her eyes and said, you're a professional. He said, no, just a good Samaritan. He said that if the sex was half as good as the conversation was, soon they'd be pushing strollers, but soon it was over.
The Audio Files is produced in the United States of America. Questions, comments, and witty banter welcome. audiofilesbroadcast@gmail.com.
Then she dated boys who were her own age, with dartboards on the backs of their doors. She thought about how he said, since she was so wise beyond her years, everything had been above board. She wasn't sure. The only thing that's left is the manuscript. One last souvenir from my trip to your shores. Now and then I reread the manuscript.
The Audio Files.
But the story isn't mine.